again the focus of our study, and then also the key verse. Here is the focus. To the apostles was given the doctrine of salvation. They were to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. We are to abide in the apostles' doctrine, preaching its message of deliverance to all people. The key verse, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now, I want to make some things very clear in the very beginning. You look at the Bible, and maybe we do not understand why God has given to us a Bible. Now, if you will notice, the Bible is divided into books, and in the books are chapters. And somebody will look at the Acts of the Apostles. We call it the Book of Acts. The Bible said it is the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Now, exactly what do you mean when you say the book of Acts or the Acts of the Apostles? It means the actions or the doings of the apostles. And when you pick up the book of Acts, it comes alive when you see the actions or the doings of the apostles. That's why it's called the Acts or the doings of the apostles. Now, let's notice how the Bible is divided. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the four Gospels, explains the birth of Christ. It explains His life, His ministry, His miracles, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. It explains His commission to the apostles to go preach the gospel to every creature. Now, let's move from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John over into the book of Acts. The book of Acts explains how this commission to preach the gospel was carried out. The Acts of the Apostles explains how this commission to preach the gospel was carried out. The book of Acts explains the gospel they preached. Now, when you leave the book of Acts, you go to the letters that they addressed to the churches. They were local assemblies. They were local churches, like this church here is a local church. It explains how to grow in grace and in knowledge. When you come through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, immediately you get into the book of Acts. The book of Acts tells you how to be saved. The letters to the local churches tells you how to maintain your fellowship with God. Tells you how to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you open up the first letter after the book of Acts, it's the letter addressed to the Romans or to the church at Rome. Then you turn over to the book of Ephesians. It's a letter that is addressed to the Ephesians. That is, to the church at Ephesus. Now, doctrine, we must learn what doctrine is. If you take the doctrine out of the Bible, you don't have much of the Bible left. Doctrine is vital. It is very important. Now, really, what is doctrine? We must learn what it is. Doctrine is that which is taught, a body of system of teachings relating to a particular subject, a system of beliefs that is advocated. Now, that's what the doctrine is. It's a system of teaching, something that relates to a particular subject. And to me, that particular subject is salvation. And that's why we have the doctrine of the New Testament that tells us how to obtain this New Testament salvation. Doctrine is to be understood as teaching, or that which is being taught. Now, the apostles' doctrine were their teachings. You don't find any other teaching in the New Testament after Jesus gave the commission to go preach. You'll find no other teaching but the apostles' teaching. That was the doctrine that God ordained for them to preach and teach. He said, go preach the gospel to every creature. That's the whole gospel to the whole world. Now, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in what? In the apostles' doctrine. They continued steadfastly in the teaching of the apostles. Now, that's what the Bible is talking about. You see, I'm afraid when I hear somebody say, and I've been all over this country, and I have run into a lot of people. And one man told me one time, he said, I do not believe in preaching doctrine. He said, this is how we operate our church. We have no law but love and no creed but Christ. I'm afraid of that. When you hear somebody say that they do not believe in doctrine, that all they believe in is there is no law but love and no creed but Christ, you can take out your little day book and write down in pen and ink that they don't teach anything. They don't teach anything. A church is supposed to have a doctrine. And that doctrine is to be proven by the Bible. I said it's to be proven by the Bible. Now let me read you Isaiah chapter 28. And beginning at verse number 9, we'll see a very important scripture here. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now, who's going to be taught knowledge? Who's going to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. Let me tell you, doctrine is no light thing. And somebody has accused me of knowing nothing but the doctrine. That's all right. It's not a light thing. It's not a shallow thing. I'm glad I do know the doctrine. I'm glad that I'm abiding steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Hallelujah. And when you know the doctrine, then the Bible says you will have knowledge. You can be taught. Hallelujah. You see, people that cannot endure doctrine, the Bible said that'd be a day when they could not endure sound doctrine. You know why? They've never been weaned from the milk yet. Somebody said, preaching strong? Well, I'm preaching strong. Hallelujah. Jesus had a doctrine. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught with authority, not as the scribes. A doctrine can be taught and believed, but not be right. Now, I wish to impress this. There is only one acceptable doctrine in the New Testament, and that is the apostles' doctrine. Is that clear? You can start out preaching anything you want to preach. You can start out preaching that hell is an ice house, and somebody will believe it. And when the world gets there, they're going to wish to God that it was an ice house. But the Bible is not silent on these things. Now, what doctrine? The apostles' doctrine. It must be taught, preached, and believed. Now, 1 Timothy 1 and 3. That thou mightest charge that they teach no other doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3. That they preach no other doctrine. Who did the writing here? Paul. Who did he write to? His son in the gospel by the name of Timothy. He said, Timothy, see to it that you, not no one else around you, preach any other doctrine. Somebody said, I'll just take my choice and I believe what I want to believe. Well, that's your privilege. But it'll never get you to heaven. Now, what doctrine did he have reference to? The apostles' doctrine. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now, what doctrine is this talking about? It's talking about the apostles' doctrine. The doctrine of the early New Testament church. And may I calm your fears? Jesus Christ never did lay but one foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10. He never did lay but one foundation. And upon that one foundation, he did not build but one church. There is only one church, and that is the body of Jesus Christ. Christ is the head of the church, the body. And when the trump of God sounds and Christ comes in the power and the glory of heaven, he is coming for that one church that he built upon that one foundation. Christ is the head of the church, the body. And in this body, we are preaching the apostolic message, the apostolic gospel that was declared by the apostle. No wonder we call ourselves apostolic people or Pentecostal people. Now, what doctrine? The apostles' doctrine. Now, let me turn into the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew and read verse number 5. And we'll notice something here is very enlightening. Now, notice carefully. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because you have brought no bread? Do you not understand, neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000? And how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves and the 4,000, and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that you should be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then they understood how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. A false doctrine is leaven. Did you know there is no error like a half-truth? You can take some of the Bible and inject into truth error, and you're worse off than if you didn't believe anything. There's no error like half truth. Now, Jesus likened the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees to leaven. Now, I want you to notice something. That's why when we take the Lord's Supper, that we have unleavened bread. Leaven is a type of sin. Now, he said the Sadducees and the Pharisees had a doctrine, but it was leaven. Now, let me give you two or three scriptures here pertaining to leaven. Now, what doctrine did the Pharisees have? External religion. Oh, they put on the dog outside. They dressed up like religious people. They looked like religious people. Stand in the streets and pray in the marketplaces for everybody to see and to hear what they were doing. They were wrong and evil on the inside. You can dress up outside and look like a saint and be a walking devil. Because that's the nature. The nature must be changed. You can take a hog. Who wants to talk about a hog? But here's a hog. Take him out and bathe him. Clean him up. Put a ribbon around his neck. Set him in the living room. Then you turn him loose. Amen. He hunts the first mud hole he can find. Amen. Because that's the nature of a hog. You see, a man's nature and his life must be changed on the inside. Dress is not everything, but it goes a long way, but that's not everything. You must be dressed up on the inside. Now, that was the doctrine of the Pharisees. They were crooked and sinful on the inside. Now, the Sadducees, they denied the resurrection. They said the soul died with the body. When you died, that was it. They denied the existence of angels and spirits. Let me repeat myself. A half-truth is worse than an outright error. Now, leaven, that means a corrupt doctrine, corrupt practices. It was forbidden in all offerings to the Lord by fire. Leviticus chapter 2, verse 11, chapter 6, and verse 17. You see, Jesus said, beware of the leaven. That was the doctrine of the Pharisees. And I warn you today to beware of the leaven of the false doctrines that's drifting around through this country right now. Let me tell you, somebody said, God showed me this and God showed me that. Let me tell you, when you tell me you've had a revelation from God, check your revelation by the inspired Word of God. And if it don't tally up, you didn't have a revelation, you had a revolution. Hallelujah! One gospel. Go preach one gospel. Preach it to every creature. Preach it to the world. All the doctrines that's drifting around through the country. I never in my life have heard as much going on as they are right now. The airwaves are full of it. The mailboxes are full. Literature of all kinds drifting all over the country. But you remember one thing. There was one God-ordained New Testament gospel, one ordained New Testament doctrine, and that was to be the doctrine of the apostles. No more, no less. Now let me go to Matthew chapter 16 again. I'm going to start reading at verse number 16. Now, you notice carefully, and I'll just read verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some are say that thou John the Baptist, and some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now notice, the divinity and the humanity of Christ was both displayed in this revelation. Whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Humanity and divinity was portrayed in this revelation that Jesus Christ gave to Peter. Then he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. Divinity, humanity, was manifested in Matthew chapter 16. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, what rock? Simon Peter? He didn't build his church on Simon Peter. He didn't build his church on no earthly man. Upon this rock, I will build my church. What rock? Upon the true identity of myself. Upon the fact that I am the Christ. I'm going to build my church. It belongs to him. He bought it. He purchased it. He built it. And one day he's coming back after it. I don't see why people can't see what I'm talking about. Somebody ought to be shouting right now. Oh, I'll wait till Sunday night. You ought to shout on Sunday morning. But I'm giving you what the Bible said. Deity and humanity was both displayed here. Deity and humanity is the foundation upon which the church is built. Upon the true identity of Christ, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee, who? Peter. Peter, I'm going to trust you with the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Brother, that was a tremendous set of keys. The keys meant the authority of what he was going to preach. Had power to bind and to loose. To loose and to bind. You stay with me for the next few minutes. I'm going to set your fields on fire. Hallelujah. Everybody. Notice carefully now. Keys meant the authority. Keys were the truths. The apostles would teach the doctrine of New Testament salvation. Keys was the authority. It was binding in its authority. Bound on earth, loosed in heaven. Now let me go to a scripture. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19. When he said, go preach the gospel to every creature. Now this is what he said. Teach them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. Teach them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. Somebody said, you're afraid to read Matthew 28, 19 and 20. I didn't know anybody was that stupid to believe that. I'm not afraid to read Matthew 28, 19, and 20. I'm not afraid to read any portion of the Bible. But some folks I know are certainly afraid to read the 18th verse before they get down to the 19th verse. Listen, I'm going to read verse 18 first. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I'm not afraid to read that. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He has all power. Now verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. I'm not afraid to quote that. Amen. Now, how am I supposed to preach? I'll get back to that in just a minute. I want to show you the basis of our preaching. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Now, how am I supposed to preach? Preach the word. Preach the word. And the prophet said, if we speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. What does the Bible say? That's all I'm concerned about. I want to know what the Bible said. Now then, let me go back to Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now first, let me quote you Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. Now, Paul said the building is fitly framed together and we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. The church is built upon the teachings of the foundation of the apostles and prophets, based on the teachings of Jesus Christ Himself. Now, who chose the apostles? Who did? The apostles was chosen by Jesus Christ. They were His choice. Mark chapter 3, verse 14, He ordained 12. They acquainted themselves with the teacher. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, when the lame man was healed at the gate called Beautiful, and the Bible said people looked upon these apostles and they had knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Hallelujah! They had been with Jesus! That's why they preach truth. They've been with the truth giver. That's why they were not in error. Because they had been with Jesus. The apostles were chosen by Jesus. The apostles were taught by Jesus. In Mark 16:15, this same Jesus said, "Go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." They were to preach the New Testament plan of salvation. Whatever He taught or revealed to them, they were to preach. Oh, somebody said, I'll take what Jesus said. Did you know Jesus never wrote any part of the Bible while He was here? It was all left to those that were to follow Him. And I had a man one time who was foolish enough to sign a proposition with me that the reason that only 12 received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the upper room in Jerusalem was to write the New Testament. And then the reason that the household of Cornelius received the baptism and spoke in tongues was a witness to the Jews that God had accepted the Jews. And I just was waiting for my turn to speak. Now he affirmed that the 12 apostles got the baptism of the Holy Ghost for the purpose to write the New Testament. When it came my turn to speak, I said, "Did it ever occur to you that Luke was not one of the chosen 12? Luke was a Gentile. And Luke wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts." Amen. Now I said, "Did it ever occur to you that Paul was not in Acts 2 in the upper room? He was not in Acts 10 when Cornelius and his household received the baptism. Paul got converted in Acts chapter 9. And he wrote the biggest majority of the New Testament." Now I said, "If you tell me that Paul did not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you're telling me that everything he wrote was uninspired. Then if you tell me that he did have the baptism," I said, "your doctrine has gone down the drain." Well, he got up and said, "I'll just have to say that Paul had the baptism of the Holy Ghost." He did have it. I have it. If a person gets the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you get it just like they got it on the day of Pentecost. I tell you, God has not stopped pouring it out. People just quit receiving it. It's the same gospel. Now, whatever He commanded them to preach, that's what they were to preach, because they were with the teacher. I said, they were with the teacher. They were to bring the gospel to the world. He didn't choose angels. He didn't choose superhuman beings. Somebody said, "Why did He choose the crew that He did choose?" I think He did it for a purpose. To make everybody understand that it's not human efforts, it's not human reasoning, but it's the anointing of the power of the Holy Ghost that comes down upon common men. Give me a common man that has got the revelation of Jesus Christ on his knees. Let a man scrub the back of his head against every seminary wall in the country and have a string of PhDs, double LDs, and XYZs hung out to his name with no revelation. It's as dry as Alaska's bird nest. But you give me somebody that's been filled with the Holy Ghost and that's doing what the Lord commanded them to do. And I tell you, you can feel the unction of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me turn to Luke chapter 24, just before he ascended. Now, you get this. Chapter 24 and verse 44. Then I'll go back and explain Matthew 28:19. And he said unto them, now, to calm your fears, this is a red letter edition. And this is what the Lord said. Oh, I'll take the words of Jesus. After all, you're taking the words of the apostles and the writers because they wrote. Jesus didn't. Now, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding. That's a teacher now. Like I heard about the absent-minded professor who was teaching his class. And he dreamed he was teaching his class. And he woke up and he was. But this mighty teacher was not like that. Amen. Then opened he their understanding. Oh, what a teacher. That they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. Now verse 47, Jesus still talking. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. His name. His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, lifted up his hands, and blessed them. And they worshipped him, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. When he gave them the understanding, when it was opened, they understood what Matthew chapter 28 and verse 19 and 20 really meant when they got the understanding open. Now, from the time Jesus gave the commission to go preach the gospel and baptize, not one single solitary convert was baptized until the day of Pentecost. Why can't we see that? When he said, go preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Somebody calls that the Great Commission. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 is just as great as Matthew 28, 19. Luke 24, 44 is just as great as Matthew 28, 19. Luke 24, 45 is where they got their understanding open. They knew what the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost was. Now, after he commissioned them to go preach and baptize, they never preached, they never baptized, they went straight to Jerusalem, they tarried, they waited for the promise of the Father. Hallelujah. Now, let's see what happened in Acts chapter 2, when the promise of the Father came. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now somebody said the purpose of tongues there was to preach the gospel to the whole world. They never preached the gospel by speaking in tongues at Pentecost. Who did the preaching at Pentecost? Peter did the preaching. In other tongues, they spoke of the wondrous works of God. But when it came time for the preaching service, Peter stood up. Why Peter? He had the keys to the kingdom. He was going to unloose. He was going to set free. He was going to bind. He was going to loose. He had the keys of authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, let me turn right on. This is still Acts chapter 2. Now, Peter preached a great sermon. And I'll not take time to read all the sermon, but it's in Acts chapter 2. But here is the revelation, the revealing of the name. This explained Matthew 28, 19 and 20. This explains Luke 24, 44 through 50. This explains Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. They'd been with a teacher. I said they'd been with a teacher. Here it is. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in the heart, that meant convicted, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Who did they ask? The preacher. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter answered. Then Peter said unto them, Repent. He had the keys. He had the authority. He had the revelation. He'd been with the teacher. He had had his understanding open. Now, let me make some broad statements. If what Peter preached at Pentecost was not in harmony with the commission that Jesus gave them in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, I wouldn't give you 5 cents for a carload of Bibles. We wasted our time, spent our money to build a church. We'd be better off to go to the hamburger joint somewhere and get out of church. If the apostles didn't do what Jesus commanded them to do, I don't have no faith in anything. It's just that simple. They wrote it. They preached it. And if they didn't preach what Jesus told them to preach, we're in the middle of a frog pond. We don't know where to go. Now, if Peter did not preach what Jesus told him to preach, if he did not command them to be baptized correctly, why didn't some of the other apostles pull his coattail and say, Wait a minute, Peter, you've got that thing all wrong. You're gumming up the works. No, they were all in harmony because they'd been with the teacher. They'd had the revelation. Then Peter said unto them, Repent. This is in your Bible. Amen. Somebody told me one time, said, you got a Pentecostal Bible. I said, what kind you got? Oh, I got a King James Version. Well, I said, here's mine. I said, it's a King James Version, just like yours. Oh, he said, you are preaching some things that's not my Bible. Well, I said, maybe you haven't read your Bible. Like I heard about the college boy, you know, that went away to college his first year. And so his parents gave him a Bible and said, Now, son, read the Bible and it'll help you. Wasn't long, he started writing home, said, Send me some money. Well, they just wrote back and said, Read your Bible. And a few days wrote back, he said, I'm reading my Bible, but send me some money. Well, they said, Read your Bible, chapter so-and-so. A few days, they got another letter. Said, Send me some money. I'm reading my Bible. When he got home, they said, You haven't been reading your Bible. Oh, yes, I have. No, they said, You haven't. Because the chapters and the verses we told you to read, we had tucked $10 bills and $20 bills. And if you'd have read your Bibles, in the verses that we told you, you would have found your money. So you see, this is where we get our blessing. We just go to what the Lord said. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now Jesus, when he opened their understanding, he said, remission of sins should be preached in my name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. This is where it started. Well, one preacher preached one time that the Holy Ghost fell at Pentecost and then it died. I said, my Lord, have mercy. I said, the Holy Ghost didn't die. He's dead. He's the one that's dead. Someone asked me one time, said, why is it there are so many icebergs in the pew? I said, because there's so many polar bears in the pulpit. We need to be caught afire with what I'm preaching about. And melt everybody, you see. Get hooked up to the hot wire, brother, and you'll start percolating right. Dead, dry, formal rituals. That's not what we're after. We want the tangible. We want the real. We want the bread of life. We want that which is contained in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had been with the teacher. They'd been chosen. See, I've proven everything I set out to prove. And when Jesus said, go preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the first sermon was preached after that commission was given, was in Acts chapter 2, and Peter commanded them to be baptized in Jesus' name. You know why he said that? Because Father's not a name, it's a title. I'm a father, I'm a son, I'm a husband, but that's not my name. Suppose I'd get lost off from my wife, and she'd get hysterical, that I'd run away, and she'd run up to somebody and say, have you seen my husband? They'd say, what is his name? Oh, husband is his name. They'd take her gently by the hand and say, we think you ought to be put away. Amen. The reason my name is Gamblin is because my father's name was that. Hallelujah. I'm a son and I took the name of my father. Hallelujah. Oh, if people could just see what we're talking about here today. It's so simple. When I take people here to baptize them, I don't promise them I'm going to do something and then don't do it. I don't say I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, then turn you loose because I haven't baptized you in no name at all. But when I take you in that baptistry and I say upon public confession of your faith, and in obedience to the command of my Lord, I now baptize you for the remission of your sins in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have baptized you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, because the proper name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the apostles taught. That's the apostles' doctrine. This was not dreamed up by some man. This was put into the hearts of the apostles, who was the foundation of the early church. And if we cannot believe what they preached and taught and wrote, we can't believe anything. That's why we're so different from everybody. Everybody in the country. There's a man got on radio some time ago, and TV, I understand. In fact, he put it in his little paper. He called in Jesus' name people a cult. And, of course, the paper got out, and it wasn't no time at all until the United Pentecostal Church, the leaders of our United Pentecostal Church, wrote him a nice letter and said, we'll meet you any time, any place. All you've got to do is just a... There. Not a word have we ever heard from him. Not a word. I say a cult. We don't belong to Jim Jones and his business. We are a church. We're not a cult. We are a church. You hear me, friend? We are a church. And God help us today to remain steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We don't have to detour. We don't have a thing in the world to hang our heads in shame about.
are not a duplicate copy. We are the continuation. We are the original, beginning on the day of Pentecost. And nearly everybody that you ever hear preach will admit the church had its birthday, had its origin on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem. Nearly everybody you preach. But yet somehow, when they get the church started on its birthday, then they depart from its teachings. If that was his birthday, if that was where it all started, in the upper room, on the day of Pentecost, in the city of Jerusalem, why don't we preach what they preach? Amen. I do. Amen. And I've been called everything in the book because I have. I have been called unbalanced, a glookety-glook, a holler-roller, and an idiot. I went to one place and a fellow called me a gentleman. Went to another place, the fellow called me a crank. I said, you're dead right. I'm a crank, but I'm a crank the devil can't turn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God.
Hallelujah. Oh, thank you.
We had a nice fellow. He became a Pentecostal preacher. He's a good friend of mine. He was a teenager going to a certain church. And they had high hopes of that young man. And one day, somebody said, they're having a Pentecostal meeting over here. Said, you ought to go. And he went, first night, and he liked it. Second night he went to the altar and got the Holy Ghost. And was baptized in Jesus' name. Well, he missed his church that Sunday. Well, before the next Sunday rolled around, the pastor went to him and said, say, I missed you last Sunday. Oh, smiling, he said, I went to the Pentecostal meeting. I received the Holy Ghost and got baptized in Jesus' name. That pastor, his countenance fell. He said, we had such high hopes for you. We were going to send you to college to learn you how to preach. You was going to be our number one preacher. He talked on. No, that boy said, I can't change now. Man, he said, I got the Holy Ghost. Said, I've been baptized in Jesus' name. Then the pastor kind of got, you know, just a little bit hot at him. He said, you know what I think's the matter with you? I think you're mentally deranged. Oh, no, he said, I'm just mentally rearranged. Hallelujah. That's the answer to the whole thing right there. I'm just real.